Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Wednesday, March the 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. Who's ready to win the day? Okay, you know how we win the day? We win the morning. And we win the morning with Jesus, meeting with Jesus. We used to have a quiet time. Not anymore, gang. We're having a meeting with Jesus, the Lord of the church, in the Word of God. He's here. He is ready to open up the store of His kingdom in your life, in my life, in our hearts, in our homes, our churches, in our cities, our places of work. He's got good to do today, and He is so excited to do it with and through and in you. So, are you ready to get going? Hey, before we get going, just a couple of quick ones. Could I give a couple of quick shout outs here? One, I want you to consider trying our series coming after Jesus Asking is called Unpuzzled. It's the book, the letter to the Ephesians. But what I'm most excited about is we've made a workbook. We've never done this before. It's part journal. It's all the entries. It's a weekly discussion guide for a small group or a class, Sunday school class. I'll have videos every week for that class or group to start the conversation. And it's kind of a dream. Never done it. Plenty of room for writing, space to reflect, prayers, name people that you will be praying for, and then Ephesians itself, whole book, plus what I'm going to say about it in the daily wake-up call. So you don't actually need it to do the wake-up call. This is going to take your own faith and formation to the next place. Every day we're linking it up top. Grab two, sew one. Okay, so there's that. Second thing, I want to invite you guys to consider coming to Franklin, Tennessee. We'll be there April 16, 17. We got a conference, a little gathering with John Thompson from Toronto. It's called Waking Up to the Gifts of the Holy Spirit. You've never been to anything like this, and it's going to be so practical, illuminating, inspiring, encouraging. Our farm team is going to be there. Come on. The link will be today in the email. Thanks for letting me make those two announcements. Now, it's time to go. Consecration mode. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry, it's entitled, His Baptism is My Baptism Too, right? Kind of like John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, His Name is My Name Too. Here we go. Our text today, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. The 40 days of Lent, in the classical sense, are meant to help us identify with Jesus as he spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. This focus, while appropriate, has led to many adventures in missing the point. Growing up, we were taught to deny ourselves something we enjoyed, like chocolate, until Easter, at which point we would gorge ourselves on chocolate until we were sick. As a result, I understood fasting as a misery to endure rather than a mystery to engage. Many years later, I'm only beginning to grasp the fasting way of Jesus. Fasting is a way of bringing to the surface the broken attachments of our deep identity so that we might be healed. Now, watch how this story unfolds. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, notice the shape of the temptation. Satan attacks Jesus at the point of his and our greatest vulnerability, identity. In his identity, while he's in a weakened, famished condition, the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." In other words, if you are who you say you are, use your power to manipulate your situation. Prove yourself by your performance. Validate your own identity. Notice how Jesus turns the table on the tempter and identifies the only necessary thing in the situation. He's seeking first the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. Now here's where it gets interesting. Do you remember the last word that came from the mouth of God? It happened at Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, just before he was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. Here it is. As Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That's Matthew 3:17. Jesus' identity had been established firmly by the Word of God in the power of the Spirit of God. One of Satan's greatest strategies to keep us upset and worried about many things is to convince us we must perform in order to be affirmed and accepted. God, our Father, gave Jesus, his Son, the performance review before the job ever started. Jesus was living his life and doing his work, not for acceptance, but from acceptance. Jesus lived his life and did his work from a bonded attachment to his Father through the active power of the Word of God and the abiding presence of the Spirit of God. This is the only necessary thing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we receive your baptism and those blessing words from our Father. "My Son, my daughter, my beloved, with you I am well pleased. pleased. Yes and amen. We receive the deep acceptance and the abiding affirmation of our Father. Thank you for your baptism, Jesus. By your Spirit, we will feast on the Father's blessing words as we're praying in Jesus' name. Amen. The journal prompts today. You're journaling, I know. Have you ever considered that Jesus' baptism is your baptism too? Can you receive this baptismal blessing freely as a gift? Will you find ways to affirm it regularly, daily? You know, I had this epiphany, I don't know, 20-something years ago. I was leading this little Bible study at Asbury. I was dean of chapel. Some students that were on my design team, my interns, I was teaching them. We were in Lent. We were going through this very text. And I'll never forget it. It was Jason McAnally, good friend of this day, pastor of Home Church in Nashville. He asked a question. He said, "What word do you think that Jesus was eating in the wilderness?" And of course, you know, you don't the word, you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jason said, "What word do you think Jesus was eating?" And I'm like, "Oh, I never thought of it that way. I just thought Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy, just quoting scripture to the devil, right?" But Jason said, I said, "Jason, I have no idea what word he was eating. It's never even occurred to me to ask the question." And Jason said, "You know, I have a thought on that." He said, "Here's the word I think Jesus was eating in the desert. You're my son." He said it was the word that just came from the Father's mouth right before he went in the desert. "You're my son. You're my beloved. With you, I'm well pleased." Like, that makes perfect sense, Jason. That was the word he was eating, because that was the thing Satan was attacking, his identity. If you're the Son of God, right? If you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, trying to tear him down. Perform. Prove it. At that point, I went into a mode of like, how can I eat that word every day? And I've been doing this now for over 20 years. Every morning, guys, I'm taking you into an intimate place in the shower. The it's like a baptismal remembrance, okay? I say it out loud. I say, "John David," I did it this morning, "John David, you are my son. You are my beloved. And with you, I am well pleased." Every day I hear, my ears hear those words. And those words, like they are the word of God. They come in and they break down the strongholds of the world that just want to cling to me, that say, "You're an imposter," that say, "You have to perform to prove your worth," or, "Your worth is how well you do plus what other people think about you. You have to be a pleaser or a performer." Breaks it down, crushes it. It says you're getting the performance evaluation before the day even starts. It's not even built on your performance. It's built on my goodness, he says. "My son, my beloved, well pleased." Oh, it's changed me. It's changing me every single day. Who's ready to sing? It's going to be good. Here we go. All right, everyone. It is time to sing. And Dad's going to help us here. My dad's with me today. And we're going to Tell them what we're singing today.
We're going to sing a favorite to everyone, and it's Onward Christian Soldiers.
What's the number?
472.
472, Onward Christian Soldiers. This is whose favorite song was this?
Well, it's mine for one, and I know Daddy liked it.
Yeah, people love this song.
So this is one that we all liked.
Yeah, we don't sing it very often. It's a fitting one today, given we're just talking about Jesus in the wilderness, mm-hmm. in the battle with Satan himself. You see, we're in a conflict. The Bible's very clear about it. Ephesians says, "For we war not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the rulers and the authorities of this present darkness." And he tells us, "Put on the full armor of God so that you may stand." Because without God, we're going to lose.
Amen. We got to have him.
But you know what? With God,
we're winners.
We're going to win.
We are winners.
So it's good to remind ourselves that we are in a battle, that we are going to win, but we have to actually enter the fight.
We've got to.
And this song is a great celebration of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready? We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, and 5.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Number 3.
Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Christians, we are ready where our saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
5.
Onward then, ye people, join our happy throne, blend with our sure voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Amen to that.
You hadn't sung that one in a while, have you?
Not all those verses.
Well, everybody, that's a good one to go out humming today as you hit the roads and head for the fields. You know, the war that we're fighting is the war of love. And love is going to win. Love is, reminded me of Pat Benatar, love is a battlefield. But love is going to win because love's going to go first. Love's going to be humble. Love is going to always protect and always hope and always trust and always persevere, the Bible says. Love never fails. And in the end, it's one of the three things that'll remain forever, and it is the greatest of those three things. All right, well, it's time to get our seeds together. We've been through consecration today. We're always working in the work of transformation, metamorpho-o, beholding Him, becoming like Him. And now we're moving out into demonstration, where Jesus is going to do good things through our lives all over the place. So get your seeds for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
And we'll see you where?
On the field.
All right.